from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Thorne Dickerson here with you with Nicholas Harry Callis behind the glass. I did it again, the little Ron Burgundy kind of slang there, didn't I? Little Nicholas Harry Callis. Yes. As I said before, Jeff Hathorn, 735, Pat Bostick, 820 till the end of the show today. We're going to get into a bunch of different topics, but we got to start here. We got to start with the Pittsburgh Pirates beating the St. Louis Cardinals 5-0 yesterday, and Crowley, throughout a lot of portions of the show yesterday, and I have to call him out even though he's not here, he was not in favor, and I'm sure a lot of us and a lot of you out there were not in favor, and I kind of was on the edge, I was on the fence, were not in favor of Martin Perez starting on the mound yesterday against the Cardinals. After how many outings that he has gone through, hasn't been great. Definitely the weakest link if you're looking at the rotation. If you're looking at the Pirates pitching rotation, Martin Perez, he's probably the weakest link. But he goes out there yesterday, and this is where Crowley was wrong. And this is where he's been put in his place. 6 innings pitched, 4 hits, no runs for Martin Perez. His best outing of the season, I believe. But he has seemed to have the Cardinals number over the years. That's one stat and one thing that we did miss yesterday, and that is obviously our fault. Maybe we should have dug deeper to some stats of Martin Perez in the past and going against the Cardinals, but he kept them alive. And the Pirates have won 10 out of 13 games. They are 2 games over 500 and 1 game back of a wild card spot. They're off today. And yesterday they traveled to Phoenix to play the Arizona Diamondbacks, which is another crucial series for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But, Callis, I think that we have to start here. And we talked a little bit about this whenever you first sat down, when we got here in the morning. How maddening was that game yesterday? That game yesterday was so maddening to me. And you know why. And I think that there's a lot of listeners out there that feel the same way. That game was so maddening. You beat the Cardinals 5-0. You shut them out. You score runs. You have a lot of guys that were a big component in the winning yesterday. But the game with Skeens on the mound is why yesterday was so maddening. Like, you could have swept this baseball club. You could have swept the Cardinals if you just would have taken care of business on Saturday. If you would have had the effort that you had yesterday, on Saturday, you would have swept the Cardinals, you'd be 3 games over 500, and you'd be right, basically, what, in the wild card spot, right? It just rubbed me the wrong way, and I felt from as soon as the game started, I was like, you know what, they're going to win this game, and it just seemed like it lacked energy because everybody was so down because the Skeens lost and took his first loss, and they should have won that game because they left so many players in running position and scoring position on Saturday, and that game just, I think it just took the life out of everybody, and I don't think that anybody thought that the Pirates were significantly going to win yesterday. I don't even know if people thought that they even had a chance. I just think people were like, all right, whatever. You know what? This series is over. And they obviously end up pulling it out. And it made me even more frustrated. Even though that they won the series against Cardinals, because man, they could have really set themselves up. They shot themselves in the foot with a guy that they've really relied on this season and has come through and came through on Saturday. Nobody else could hold their weight on Saturday, and they end up winning, obviously, the series, but they could have swept them. And I'm very frustrated about it, Kyle.
So I think when you have a guy like Skeens on the mound that's as good as he is and pitched as well as he did, you want to get, you know, those wins. I said it on the early morning show, and when I said it out loud, I'd rather Skeens' first loss have been still with a decent pitching performance than, you know, him getting shelled.
Right.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm. I like the positive outlook there.
But I'm frustrated, too, for the same reasons. You want to get every game that you can, and it seems like to me that the Pirates' pitching is, if they're going to get through a series, their pitching has to be nearly perfect, if not perfect. Because you never know what you're going to get from this offense. And to me, it doesn't make sense that you're going to, you know, you put up, oh no, it kind of does make sense. You put up five runs when you're not greatest pitchers on the mound.
Right.
But you don't score even a basic amount when your best guy's on the mound. That's just what I think is frustrating about it.
Do you think it's because of their pitching matchup? The Cardinals.
See, Lance Lynn and right, he's their bullpen, it's not, they're a vulnerable team.
Right.
And if you're going to set, like, you have to set yourself apart in some way. Now, the Pirates are winning series here. I think Joe Block, I heard him say they won four in a row.
Four, yes.
Right, that's,
well, they had the Brewers, the White Sox, the Phillies, and now the Cardinals. Yes.
Yeah, so there's that, you know, there's that, that matters, right? They were kind of swirling between winning a series and losing a series, you know, back and forth and back and forth, keeping them, you know, just under 500. Now they're winning more series than they're not. So that's something that should, you know, be praised. But also, I have concerns about how they would do in the playoffs. They've got to separate themselves in some way.
Right.
And right now it seems like a flip of a coin. Are they going to do it or are they not? There's no sure thing that they can win. Because you'll see the offense perform really well one game and then not well the next. And if you can't take advantage of every Skeens start that you get, from going into the ninth inning, striking out eight, and, you know, going into that inning only giving up one earned run, if that's not a good enough pitching performance, if your best guy isn't good enough for your offense, nothing is guaranteed.
See, like, you bring up a great point. Like, I mean, you're right. Like, they have to separate themselves in a way, and it can't be just pitching. Like, we know that that's going to be there. And that's why it's so maddening. And that's why, you know, when we talked to Neil Walker, when we talked to Jordy Mercer, when we talked to John Wehner, you know, the thing about baseball is the consistency. And it's so hard to find that. That's why the game and the sport is so difficult. That's why it's probably, you know, one of the hardest sports to play, is because you can't always be consistent alongside of everybody else trying to be consistent. And the Pirates, I'm not saying that they have to be, and we're not saying that they have to be consistent every game, but they need to be able to hang their hat on something outside of what their, you know, aces are.
I feel like I kind of jinxed it too that night, because I was talking to a group of guys, and I was just saying, like, we're talking about Skeens, and I was like, you know what? I'll tell you what. Here's the thing. Here's what I like about Skeens. You feel like when he's on the mound, it's a guaranteed win. And I feel like I jinxed it.
Well,
honestly, because that's,
I mean, but you have the facts that has proven, yeah, that, though.
That's how good he is, though, that you feel like when he goes out there that it's like a guaranteed win for the Pirates. And unfortunately,
right,
we've seen, I think, at least three instances this season where, you know, him giving up one to two runs in his starts was not good enough for them to win. The other few before were no decisions for him, and now he picked up the losing decision, and the Pirates lost a game. Where, you know, if you sweep the Cardinals here, I think there's a bit, it's a different feel,
mm-hmm,
going into this road trip.
I mean, it's a huge,
you're in a different position in the standings. Yes. I think you just feel overall better because your best guys, Keller and Skeens, got the wins like they're supposed to get.
Mm-hmm. That's a great, it's a fantastic point. Like, I do wonder how they are feeling right now. And I'm sure that they're feeling confident. They're feeling pretty good. I mean, like you just said, like, and like we're just talking through, you know, winning four series, I mean, that's something significant. It is. And then winning two of those before the break and then winning two after the break. Usually it goes one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Like usually you win two, it's like, all right, we're heading into the break, and then you have some time off, you lose that momentum, and then you lose how many games in a row. That does happen a lot in sports whenever you have that long break and you lose that momentum. But they figured out a way to win two series in one against the best team in baseball and another one against a rival team that you're competing for every single day, basically. You're competing against.
But it's leaving a little doubt in my mind.
I know. Like, I want to be happy right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can. Because
there's that doubt because when you get into the playoffs, like if they make the playoffs, everything's more intensified. Everything's more magnified. You could, there's a chance, it's a small chance seeming right now, but there is a chance they could see a team, you know, like the Cardinals or the Cardinals in the playoffs. And when you're in those situations where their best guys are out there against your best guys, I mean, is your offense going to be able to perform in a way that's going to get you through one of those series? And there's that just shadow of doubt right now that is frustrating to me. Now, if they add somebody.
Do you think one guy could fix that? That's the problem, too. That's what I don't think that people are realizing. I don't believe that one player can fix that. There's not just one guy. One guy can't just come in here and fix that. And who knows what that guy's going to be whenever he does come here.
And that's like, that's the misfortune of this season. Normally, you know, there's a set amount of contenders in the playoff race, and you maybe get two or three guys. You acquire two or three guys. You're not this isn't a season where you're getting that because there's so many. Even in the American League, there's still plenty of teams in contention. Right. So, like, ugh.
Yes. No, seriously. Like I keep saying, and I feel like we can all attest to this, like, I want to be happy for what the Pirates are doing right now. Mm-hmm. But yesterday was maddening in a way for me because I'm like, you could have really swept this team and put yourself an even bigger spot right now. Like, you could be sitting in a place where you're ultra confident heading into this Arizona Diamondback series and figure that series out, and you just couldn't get it done. And the decent teams, the good teams, they figure out ways to win games like Saturday. There are some positives from yesterday that I would like to get into. I don't want to, you know, bring it down too much. And, you know, we should revert back to the question of how many guys would it take? Like, and who would it take? And what do they need to do? We've talked about this a lot, but it's every day that goes by, it's crunch time. And are they going to make a move today? Are they going to make a move in 2 days? What move are they going to make? Is it going to be the appropriate move? How many guys do they need? Like, there's so many things, and this is what makes this so fascinating, is because alongside of the players needing to step up on the team, they probably do need to add multiple players in order to get to where they want to go and to find that consistency. We'll talk a little bit more about that next. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get
money. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Money for you.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a high fly ball deep down the right field line. This is staying fair. This is way back and gone. Over the seats. Rowdy Tellez, a high-arcing long home run. And the Pirates lead 5-0. Two hits for Rowdy off the lefty today.
Fair Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. That was Rowdy Tellez and his home run in yesterday's outing. Callis, I mean, I know that a lot of us have been hitting on this and talking about it, but I can't remember in my mind a bigger turnaround from an athlete. From start till, you know, midway point of any season, whether it was football, whether it was basketball, whether it was hockey, or whether it was baseball, from the guy getting booed almost out of the stadium every single time he would run out to first base, every single time he would take the mound for weeks and weeks and weeks, he would get booed. And to have the mental toughness, to have the mental strength to stay in it, I give Rowdy Tellez so much credit. And he has absolutely turned it around. He has been a big component and staple for this team winning baseball games. It is absolutely fantastic. I don't think that we can give him enough credit for what he has done.
No, it's very unique. And I remember talking about him, too, when he was struggling. And I was just like, man, he can't figure it out. He's looking at pitches right down the middle. Can't really hit anything, you know. And the fact that he's hitting everything now is fantastic to see. It's nice that you're getting that value out of him.
It really is. And like you said, there's the word right there, the value. You're getting the value of $3.2 million that you were looking to that you invested in him and tried to look to get your investment back. You waited. You were patient. Shelton, Charrington, everybody that is a part of that club was patient with Rowdy Tellez. They kept trotting him out there. They kept giving him his opportunities, and it finally clicked in the Blue Jay series. Whenever I think that little kid, I guess, I don't know, he knows a
yeah, he's a fan of Rowdy.
A fan. And
he just followed him around. He was...
I'll never forget that moment, because like they kept panning to the kid, and the kid always, you know, he wanted Rowdy to hit a home run, wanted Rowdy to get a hit for him, and Rowdy did, and then ever since then, he's just turned it around. I'll never forget that.
If you want to go down a small rabbit hole, I find it ironic that, remember when they pinch hit on Tuesday for Rowdy?
Yes.
Key Brian Hayes.
Key Brian Hayes, yes.
And Key Brian Hayes hit into a double play. That was because a lefty was on the mound, so they were playing the matchup.
And then yesterday,
Tellez homers off a lefty.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yep.
Of course, they take him out because, you know, Brian Hayes was hitting lefties better, and, you know, he wasn't really hitting good, but Rowdy, was not as good against lefties than yesterday a lefty. He just banged one out. Bang!
Into the water!
Yeah,
into the river. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing that indicated Hayes might have a better chance was because his average is better against lefties, but, like...
That was a bad decision, right?
Yeah.
That was a bad feel decision. Yeah. You got to feel that situation. I know what probably the analytics say and what it says to do, the appropriate move to make, but sometimes you got to go with your gut. And the gut does not say put Cabrian Hayes in there in that moment. You got to go with a guy that actually can hit the baseball into the outfield.
That the reason to be frustrated?
Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick, Home Improvement, TrustPJ.com. Okay, now we get to this point, and we talk about Ryan Telez, give him his credit, and what he did yesterday was significant to the Pirates winning. Would you explore bringing him back next year, Callis, if you're the Pirates?
Yeah, I mean, see, I can't gauge the hitters well enough because I've been critical of the coaching for the entire, last couple seasons. So I think you can get value out of these players if you bring them back, but you have to come up with some sort of approach that sets the hitters up to succeed. Because when it's one guy, it's like, okay, that's the one guy, cut that guy off. But when it's the whole team, I mean, I don't know if you bring him in or somebody else in. If you bring somebody else in, if they're going to have the same type of struggles because of how just the Pirates' structure is right now among the hitters. You know what I mean?
Well, this kind of leads into my – like, I've always been on this train for about a month now, maybe a little bit over a month. If they were going to make a trade, I wanted them to make a trade for Jazz Chisholm and Josh Bell, bring Josh Bell back. Josh Bell isn't great this year. He isn't bad. I think he – you know, he had two hits or maybe a hit yesterday. He's had a couple homers in the last few weeks. But I would love to see a package to bring him back. Don't know what you would do with him right now. Maybe platoon right now with Rowdy. And then maybe, I don't know what his deal is, what his control is, but he's somebody that is familiar with Pittsburgh that could possibly work because they haven't had a first baseman since, Kevin Young. You know, they've only had two good first basemen in 50 years. I've always been a proponent of the Jazz Chisholm playing center field and Josh Bell playing first base, but I'm kind of conflicted now with what Rowdy has done. I mean, if he does stay consistent and does this through the rest of the season, I may explore bringing him back. I really would.
Bell would be a rental, by the way.
He would be a rental? Okay, so that wouldn't make any sense. That would make zero sense then. But Jazz Chisholm, like, I feel like there's not many names out there because there isn't, and it's the same circular motion of same guys that keep being brought up, the Taylor Wards, the Rooker, the Jazz Chisholm, that the Pirates could approach. In your perfect world, from the guys that are available, who would you love to see the Pirates trade for?
Brent Rooker right now is at the top of my list here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why people are saying that he's strictly a designated hitter.
Right.
So he can still play the field pretty well from what I saw.
Yeah.
There's some highlights that I saw where I'm like, ooh.
Whenever he threw to third?
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's that. And then Jazz Chisholm's a close second. I like that he can play the outfield. He's still pretty quick. I think he would need to sustain hitting. Those two would be my choices.
That's kind of where I'm at. The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
But
I'm with you there.
I can't get on the Josh Bell train because you got to ask yourself at this point, is anything he does, is that going to be better than Rowdy Telez?
Right.
And is anything, I mean, if you're going to put him at DH.
Right.
Is any way that he's hitting right now, is that better than
Kutch?
So, and I love Andrew McCutchen batting leadoff, and I mean, I know there's been talks about him being upgraded potentially in the with the trade deadline or with other acquisitions. I like him at the leadoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he gets on base frequently, and that's what you got to do as a leadoff hitter. So I don't know if you necessarily need to upgrade that position, but I mean, I guess that's just what you got to ask yourself. Is the player you're going to acquire worth trading the prospects, and is that return going to be better than the way your team is structured right now? Chisholm, I say yes. Brent Rooker, I say yes, because you need outfield help. First baseman, though, I mean, I don't think Josh Bell is going to do anything better than Rowdy Telez is doing right now.
Yeah, I think
fit better than McCutchen is at the top of the order.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that's out the window. I mean, there was a time, as we just kind of went through Rowdy Telez and what he has done this year, there was a time where that probably was sexy looking, where you get Chisholm and Josh Bell back in a package. But I think first base is pretty much solid right now. And
I also worry about getting guys and them going through a regression period, too.
Same here. Michael A. Taylor is like the prime example for me.
I don't have confidence in. I don't know what they're doing there, And I mean, they're coaching the way they're coaching, but like, it's just not a coincidence. And I lose confidence because if it's everybody, it can't be. I can't put blame on the players if it's everybody,
mm-hmm.
or if it's many, you know. So I just don't know. Like, I worry too that they're going to get an acquisition and somebody they're going to regress because the approach or the instruction is different.
I'm totally with you. I could see that absolutely happening, and everybody being obviously upset about it. That's just kind of how it goes. Kallus, you have there was a potential trade rumor that was floating around yesterday, and you have a little theory around that you want to get into next. 937 The Fan, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA and WAMO 107.3 are partnering to support Pittsburgh Public Schools students for the 2024-2025 school year by providing stuffed backpacks for the hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS backpack drive. Visit the link on the homepage of 937thefan.com. Support as an individual or get a group together to support. Help ensure a good start to the school year for local kids. Kallus, I'm sore right now. I help coach my oldest son's football team, and every time that I've ever coached or trained kids, it's very hard for me not to fully demonstrate drills.
You weren't just the stopwatch guy?
No, you know what? That's funny because I was paired. This is very funny. I was paired with that guy, with that dad, Kirk.
Okay,
and he looked at me and was like. And, like, threw me the ball because we were doing the W drill. And he threw me the ball. He was like, I'm going to let you run this because I don't want to be content on your show anymore. And then and I broke down. And then behind me was Gus Moustakas, who his son is on the team as well, and he's helping out coach. And I played with him at Pitt. We went to Pitt together for 3 years. And Gus just starts laughing as hard as he possibly can because he's like, I was listening to that live about a month ago, and he's like, I'm howling right now. It was so funny. He's like, I don't want to be content on your show, so here you go. You run the drill. I was like, it's all in fun, man. You're good. You're good. Gus is like screaming in the background like, yeah, you got the guy that has the 40-yard dash record, and you're over here timing guys. Like, what are you doing? That's so funny you bring that up. But I am sore because I have to demonstrate every single drill, and I am old. And I am not in shape, and it's hard for me to go out there and to coach.
I can't hear you say you're out of shape. I just can't.
I am.
It just doesn't. It doesn't compute.
I'm severely out of shape for me.
You're pushing me and Crowley around all the time, and you got muscles still. And
yeah, but it hurts.
He's skinny, and I'm large, and and you're just over here like, I'm out of shape.
I'm sore. I'm very
My
sore.
My muscles. Oh.
Well, yeah, I'll figure it out, of course. Kallus, you had a little. Well, there was a rumor that went around yesterday that Bednar, the Pirates, I think what they reached out to the Orioles about potentially trading Bednar for one of their top prospects.
No, other way around. Other way around. So,
okay.
My source is Pony, by the way. We'll just get that out of the way now.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
But he posted on Twitter and it got me thinking. He said the Pirates recently turned down a trade that would have sent David Bednar to the Orioles, and then they could have acquired a top prospect or, another piece from them. For him, and I think their one closer's injured, Felix Bautista, so it would make some sense from that perspective. So
would you do that?
I wouldn't want to because I have sentimental value for David Bednar. I think Crowley even touched on it a little bit yesterday. He said that the city would burn down, or the fans would burn down the city, figuratively, if that were to happen. But I got scared. That was my reaction when I read that because the Pirates have, when they were good, if you remember, and they did this for a number of years before and after too. But they would have a closer that would sit for 2 or 3 years as the guy. It was Joel Hanrahan to Jason Grilley to Mark Melancon to Tony Watson to a guy I don't want to mention because he got in trouble with the law, And so they went back to back to back to back with all these guys, and eventually all these guys would get traded away after 2 years. Grilley got traded to the Angels in 2014, Melancon to the Nationals in 2016, Watson to the Dodgers in 2017. So I just, David Bednar's been here for a couple seasons now. It's like 2.5 now. It's going to be 3 when he completes the season, this season. And I'm just, I hope they don't. And it's a new regime, so it's different there too. But yeah, it just got me worried. I'm like, are the Pirates still going to continue this the shelf life approach that they have on closers where they just try to maximize value and then develop the next guy.
Yeah,
which I think would be Holderman in this case.
I can't see that ever happening. And I think you kind of hit on it with the sentimental value of David Bednar.
Like, see, but I thought too, and that's why this post worries me. And I think it's just interesting to talk about because I thought that Melanson was untouchable.
Mm-hmm. And then, yes.
Now, Grilly made a little more sense in 2014 because he was starting to drop off a bit. And I think that, you know, you wanted to maximize his value before he became untradeable. And he was a free agent after that season, too, so that one kind of made sense. Melanson was a free agent after that season. I think he pitched for the Nationals and then signed with the Giants. But he was still good enough, I think, that you could have kept him on. And the Pirates won 78 games that season, mm-hmm. so I think they still could have kept him on and wrote out that contract. Now, the value they got back was all right. But, yeah, I mean, I just worried because – how many years does Bednar have left? I don't know. Do you know that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
No, I don't know.
I probably should have looked that up before.
Maybe 2 years. What about Chapman? Do you think he's expendable? Do you think he should be trade?
See, I wouldn't do that either. Like, I think you're reaching – now, again, I mean, when times are good, it's, you know, you have that perspective and it's a long season. There's still most of the half of the year to go. I mean, watching Chapman throw 103 against the Phillies tickled me in a way – that I haven't been in a little while when watching the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, and when you watch like the best case scenario, it's not just like, oh, this guy throws 97, he's got a nice, you know, mix of pitches and he's doing well here and not. Like, you've got the Cuban Missile who, when he's on, he's dotting 103 mile per hour fastballs and he has a slider to complement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get rid of that because I think that when you're playing at your best and he's playing at his best, the team is better overall.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a pitching staff that's real dominant. Now, the Pirates can't hit half the time. So that's another thing that you have to bargain with is, do we get rid of one of these pitchers to supplement the lineup?
And that's where I'm at.
It's a conundrum.
It's a conundrum. It is very, very difficult. But I think that you could figure out ways to work around the absence of Chapman in order to enhance the actual lineup and not have a bottom half of your lineup be, you know, under 200 batting averages. Like, you need hitters. You don't need pitchers. That's set. But could you be in a position where if you lose a pitcher, how much of a drop off would that be? And I'm sitting here thinking that it would be possibly a drop off, but not falling off the cliff. Like, you could figure that out better than you could figure out your hitting situation right now.
Well, who's your eighth inning guy if it's not Chapman? Because right now it's Holderman, Chapman, Bednar. You've got a nice three combo there. I mean, could Mlodzinski develop into a late inning guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Right.
I'd agree with you there. Yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe it makes sense.
Right. Well, I mean, Nicholas, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's figured it out.
Right. There, so. I'm willing to explore those growing pains because I know that the front and the back are going to be solid. And then I can enhance my lineup is. And that is a big struggle right now. It's a big issue. So,
The guys throw 103, though. There is
you're
that.
Right. You're
but,
right.
You know, I mean, are they more consistent? Maybe.
Yeah, I know. I see, and Crowley's on the same wavelength as you are, but I just think that if you can get something for Chapman, and that was probably your plan the whole time, was to trade him at the deadline.
But that's why the season is so interesting, though, too, because if you trade Chapman, what's the return, and is the return going to be worth it?
Well, it would have to be worthy.
Right.
It would have to be worth it.
Like, you've got to get a guy in your lineup and they can change the lineup.
That's the only way I would do it. If it was absolutely, just like you're saying, if it was absolutely for sure that I got the guy that we wanted, that we know that could change our lineup, that it was worth trading a huge integral piece to the puzzle of our team, then you do it. But not just for a hope and pray type situation. Coming up next, money doesn't buy happiness. It really doesn't, Callis. And you know why. And we'll talk about that. But 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Jeff Hathorn joins the Fan Morning Show at 7:35. Pat Bostic at 8:20. He will join the show. He's getting a haircut, so he will be a little bit late, of course. Callis. Has Pat ever showed up on time?
No.
Maybe one time I'll give him a little grace, but usually not, right?
Well, we're talking about, like, I mean, he showed up, like, maybe 30 seconds after 7, but if we're talking about, like, if I ever seen him, like, if he's on at 7, have I ever seen him at, like, 6:57? No.
Yeah. Like, now, Whaley's always here, usually a segment before he comes on.
I always assume he's going to talk to you before, you know, the segment he's supposed to be on.
Whenever he sits down?
Right.
I know. I always think he's going to
join.
He's
always here, yeah.
He's always listening, too. Doug's a good man. So is Pat. So is Pat. You know Pat and I were teammates, right? Yeah. Okay. Money can't buy happiness. Gallus, this is right up your alley right now, and this is kind of near and dear to your heart. And I don't know if you thought that we were going to even talk about this, but you mentioned this because you were sad about it, and I was like, you know what? Let's just talk about it. Now, this team is second in the AL East. They still may finish first by the end of the season in the AL East. But yesterday they lost 12-3 against the Mets. The Yankees, like, they spend so much money every single year. And I know that they, and I'm sure if you ask and do a poll of Yankees fans, I bet you a lot of them are distraught and a lot of them are disappointed in the team. They're still a good baseball team, the Yankees are. They spent a lot of money. But they're not a World Series team whenever you watch them. And I've watched them. I've had that opportunity to watch them a few times now. I've had an opportunity. They've been on TV. You know, I kind of follow what they do just to get a gauge because I am a fan of Soto. I am a fan of Judge. I am a fan of, you know, just kind of the Yankees, not as much as you are. You are a big-time fan, favorite player, Derek Jeter. We all know that. But they lose 12-3 against the Mets last night. I believe that game, I mean, it was home. It's not – whenever you watch the Yankees – and for all the amount of money that they spend, that's not a World Series team, is it?
Well, no, I mean, I think it's extra frustrating this season because they started so hot. I think they were the first team to 50 wins, and from that point, they really struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Boone, I saw him on television this morning for his post-game press conference yelling, "We want to win! We want to win! Like, what are you guys talking about? We want, you know." And, I mean, I talk about this all the time, and I think that, I know Greg Finley at KDK AM, he is... he's a Mets fan, too, right. And they've spent a lot of money. And I think that, you know, talking to him about the Mets and me following the Yankees, I've talked about this on the Fan Early Morning Show a lot, too, is that it needs to be a balance between, you know, how much you spend and who you acquire and what players you develop because, yeah, spending does not always yield success. It yields success sometimes, but, like, most of the time it doesn't, especially in a sport like baseball. I mean, they overspent on Carlos Rodon, I think. They acquired a hefty contract of Juan Soto, and they still can't be first in the division. Mm-hmm. And it's the Orioles who have, shockingly, developed well and added some pieces. So the Mets are the same way, where they signed Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer last season, and, you know, those two players ended up getting traded because, you know, they were over the hill, I think, you know, from what their primes were, and they weren't worth the contract. So, yeah, just because you spend on guys that have big names, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to breed success.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you need, like, you know, like I talk about, that's why you need that balance.
Well, I mean, this does go, I mean, and they very, very well may win the World Series. They may very well may make it to the World Series. I get that. They're the Yankees. They're always going to have the best opportunity because they do spend money, and they're one of the most prestigious franchises in all sports.
They have to play the Astros, are going to lose. That's been a theme.
But this just kind of goes to the, you know, looking at the Pirates. Like, you don't have to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to have a good baseball team.
No, and that's what I try to tell, like, I mean, that's why I talked to Pirate fans about that. I'm like, listen, when the Yankees were good in the late 90s, that's because George Steinbrenner got suspended for meddling where he shouldn't have been, and they actually devoted their resources to drafting properly. So you got the core four that Jeter was a part of. You know, and I think people don't really understand that. Now, they spent money on Jeter and all those players after that to keep them. But for the most part, like, their prime years where they won those World Series in the late 90s were because they drafted and developed. So I tell Pirate fans, it's not necessarily about just giving a hefty contract to somebody just because they have a big name.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to develop properly. Now, you can criticize their development, their hitting coaches, all that stuff, but, like, I think that just to blindly say, oh, they don't spend enough, I don't love that argument because teams that do spend on big names, those big names don't always produce.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. You know, that kind of just rolls into what we're going to talk about next. Like, have the Steelers, and the Steelers reported to training camp yesterday. Football's here. I mean, we're a week away. This time next week, we'll be preparing for the first preseason game, which is the Hall of Fame game that will take place in Canton. Football season's here. The Steelers have their first practice today. Have they spent the appropriate money? They still have money left to, and you're wondering where that might be going. Have they developed the guys that they've drafted? I know one guy, obviously, they didn't develop in the right way. He is gone now. He is in Philadelphia. But what is the identity of the Pittsburgh Steelers this year? Let's get into that coming up next. First, Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.